Welcome to Art and Design Unlocked, the podcast that helps GCSE students get the marks they deserve. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most tactile, hands-on topics in the OCR Art and Design specification, constructed textiles. Whether you're just starting your portfolio or putting the finishing touches on your final outcome, this episode is packed with everything you need to know. So grab a notebook, settle in, and let's get started. Section 1. What are constructed textiles? Let's kick off with the big question. What exactly does constructed textiles mean in the context of your GCSE? Constructed textiles refers to the process of building fabric or three-dimensional form by manipulating fibers, yarns, and other materials from the ground up. Rather than taking a piece of existing fabric and decorating it, which would fall under printed or dyed textiles, you are literally constructing the surface or structure yourself. Think of it like the difference between painting a wall and building the wall from bricks. You are the architect of the material itself. The four core techniques you need to know are weaving, knitting, felting, and crochet. Let's briefly introduce each one. Weaving is the interlacing of two sets of threads, the warp, which runs vertically and is held under tension on a loom, and the weft, which is woven horizontally through the warp threads. The pattern and texture of a woven piece is determined by the sequence in which the weft passes over and under the warp. Changing the yarns, the tension, or the weave structure dramatically alters the visual and tactile quality of the cloth. Knitting creates fabric through a series of interlocking loops formed from a single continuous yarn. The two fundamental stitches are knit and purl, and combinations of these produce different textures, from smooth stocking stitch to the raised ridges of rib or the complex patterns of cables. Knitted fabric has natural elasticity, which gives it very different structural properties to woven cloth. Felting is an ancient technique that works by matting together animal fibers, typically wool, using moisture, heat, and friction. The microscopic scales on wool fibers lock together under these conditions to create a dense, non-fraying fabric. Wet felting involves agitating fibers in warm, soapy water, while needle felting uses barbed needles to mechanically entangle dry fibers. Felting is particularly exciting for three-dimensional sculptural work because the material can be molded and shaped. Crochet, like knitting, uses a single yarn but employs a hook tool to create interlocking loops. The resulting fabric tends to be more open and lacy in structure, and crochet is particularly versatile for creating three-dimensional forms. Now, here's something really important that examiners look for. You are not limited to traditional fibers. OCR explicitly rewards candidates who experiment with unconventional materials. Wire, plastic strips, paper, recycled packaging, and even natural materials like grasses or bark can be woven, twisted, or interlaced. This kind of material experimentation is exactly what earns you marks in Assessment Objective 2. Section 2, the four assessment objectives, your mark earning framework. Let's talk marks. Your OCR Constructed Textiles portfolio is assessed against four assessment objectives, each worth exactly 25% of your total mark. Understanding what each one requires is absolutely essential. Assessment Objective 1, Develop, is about research and contextual understanding. You need to investigate relevant practitioners, historical traditions, and contemporary designers. This isn't just about finding pictures and sticking them in your sketchbook. Examiners want to see that you have genuinely engaged with the work, that you understand the techniques used, the cultural or historical context, and most importantly, how that understanding has shaped your own ideas. The key word here is informed. Your research should visibly inform your personal development. Assessment Objective 2, Experiment, is where your practical skills shine. You need to demonstrate rigorous experimentation with a range of materials, techniques, and processes. Rigorous is the key word. A single weaving sample is not enough. Examiners want to see you pushing boundaries, changing the warp tension, introducing unusual weft materials, combining weaving with felting, exploring color relationships through yarn selection. Each experiment should show you refining your ideas, not just producing samples for the sake of it. Assessment Objective 3, Record, is about how you document your creative journey. This includes annotated samples, photography, observational drawings, and written reflections. Your annotations must go beyond description. Saying, "I used blue wool to weave this sample," earns you very few marks. Saying, "I selected a merino wool warp for its fine denier and tensile strength, which allowed me to achieve a tight, even weave structure that I felt would best realize the delicate quality I observed in Annie Albers' geometric weavings." That's the kind of critical, evaluative annotation that earns marks. Assessment Objective 4, Present, is your final outcome. This is where everything comes together. Your final piece must clearly realize your intentions and demonstrate a personal response to your theme. Examiners assess technical resolution. Does the piece demonstrate skill and control? And personal engagement. Does it feel genuinely yours, or does it look like a copy of an artist you researched? Section 3. Key practitioners you must know. Now let's talk about artists. Knowing your practitioners well is essential for AO1, and being able to reference them fluently in your annotations will significantly strengthen your portfolio. Annie Albers is perhaps the most important figure in 20th century constructed textiles. A student and later teacher at the Bauhaus in Germany, Albers elevated weaving to the status of fine art. Her woven works are characterized by geometric abstraction, a rigorous exploration of structure, and a deep understanding of material properties. Her essay collection on weaving is a brilliant resource. For your portfolio, Albers is relevant because she demonstrates how formal visual elements, line, shape, pattern, rhythm, can be expressed entirely through the constructed textile medium. Sheila Hicks is a contemporary American textile artist whose work spans wall-based installations, sculpture, and intimate hand-woven pieces. What makes Hicks particularly useful for GCSE study is her fearless use of color and her willingness to work at radically different scales, from tiny woven miniatures to enormous architectural installations. Her work shows how constructed textiles can transcend the functional and become powerful fine art. Barbara Walker is a British textile artist known for her innovative approach to knitting and crochet, often incorporating found objects and unconventional materials. Her work is a great example of how traditional domestic techniques can be subverted and elevated. For a more historical reference, consider the Navajo weaving tradition from the American Southwest, which demonstrates extraordinary technical mastery of loom-based weaving and a sophisticated visual language of geometric pattern. When you reference practitioners in your annotations, always go beyond simply describing what they made. Ask yourself, what technique did they use and why? What materials did they choose, and what properties of those materials served their intentions? How does their work connect to your own theme and personal response? Section 4, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's get into the exam tips. This is where I'm going to be really direct with you because these are the mistakes that cost candidates marks every single year. Mistake number 1, producing a pastiche. A pastiche is when your work looks like a copy of an artist you've researched without any genuine personal development. Examiners can spot this immediately, and it significantly limits your marks across all 4 assessment objectives. The solution is to extract the underlying principle from an artist's work, the structural logic of Annie Albers' geometric weave, for example, and then apply that principle to your own theme, your own color palette, your own material choices. Your work should be inspired by, not copied from, your sources. Mistake number 2, a disconnected final outcome. Your final piece must have a visible, traceable connection to your sampling and preparatory work. If your sketchbook is full of experiments with open, lacy crochet structures and your final piece is a tightly woven panel, examiners will question the coherence of your development. Every decision in your final outcome should be justifiable by reference to your earlier experimentation. Mistake number 3, weak annotation. This is perhaps the most common issue. Annotation is not description. It is critical evaluation. For every sample, you should be addressing, what technique did I use? What materials? Why did I choose them? What were the results? What worked and what didn't? And how does this inform my next step? Use subject-specific vocabulary. Tensile strength, drape, denier, warp, weft, gauge, pile, felting, interlacing. These terms signal to the examiner that you have genuine technical understanding. Mistake number 4, over-reliance on found fabrics. If you are simply cutting up existing fabrics and reassembling them, you are not demonstrating constructed textile skills. You need to show that you have built surfaces from raw fibers or yarns. This is what distinguishes constructed textiles from other textile approaches. Exam tip number 1, photograph your process. Particularly for complex structures like loom-based weaving, the process is as important as the outcome. Step-by-step photographs, annotated with technical commentary, provide excellent AO3 evidence. Exam tip number 2, select materials for structural reasons, not just aesthetic ones. When you annotate your material choices, reference properties like tensile strength, elasticity, drape, and texture. This demonstrates the kind of informed material understanding that AO2 rewards. Exam tip number 3, make your line of inquiry clear. From your very first research page, there should be a clear thread, a theme, a question, an idea that runs through your entire portfolio. Examiners should be able to follow your thinking from initial research through to final outcome. Section 5, Quick Fire Recall Quiz. Okay, let's test what you've learned. I'll ask 5 questions, pause the podcast after each one, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are the 2 sets of threads in weaving called? Pause now. The answer is warp, the vertical threads held under tension, and weft, the horizontal threads woven through. Question 2. Which assessment objective covers experimentation with materials and processes? Pause now. The answer is assessment objective 2. Question 3. Name 1 key practitioner associated with constructed textiles and state 1 reason they are relevant. Pause now. A strong answer would be Annie Albers. Relevant because her geometric weavings at the Bauhaus demonstrate how formal visual elements can be expressed through constructed textile structure. Question 4. What is the difference between wet felting and needle felting? Pause now. Wet felting uses moisture, heat, and friction to mat wool fibers together. Needle felting uses barbed needles to mechanically entangle dry fibers. Question 5. What is the most common annotation mistake that costs candidates marks? Pause now. The answer is describing rather than evaluating. Annotations must explain why choices were made and assess the results, not simply describe what was done. Section 6, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Constructed textiles at GCSE is a genuinely exciting area of study. It connects you to thousands of years of human craft tradition while also opening up contemporary fine art and design practice. The key to success is understanding the 4 assessment objectives and making sure every piece of work in your portfolio is earning marks across all 4. Develop your ideas through genuine engagement with practitioners. Experiment boldly with materials and techniques and document your reasoning. Record your process with critical, evaluative annotations that use subject-specific vocabulary. And present a final outcome that is technically resolved and personally meaningful. Remember the mnemonic DERP? Develop, experiment, record, present. That's your 4 assessment objectives in order. Keep that in mind every time you sit down to work on your portfolio. Thank you so much for listening to Art and Design Unlocked. If you found this episode helpful, share it with your classmates. Good luck with your portfolio. And remember, the most important thing is that your work is genuinely yours. See you next time.